for to preach today, and all of these wonderful folks that have been so good to me. Brother Bridges said, well, he said, I'm so glad that you made it in. He said, our bathrooms are ready to be cleaned, and we're glad you're here. And I said, but, oh, Brother Bridges, you're too late. I've already been here, and they're treating me like royalty. They didn't know I come to clean bathrooms. Come on now. And I'm so thankful for how that you all just made us feel at home. And Pastor Mock invited us to come back this fall, and just wonderful. And my, it is unearned and certainly unworthy to share the pulpit a day with Brother John Gabbard. My, what a privilege this is. And Brother Birdsong, the night preacher. You know, I've had the privilege, Brother Bridges, of being in about 300, over 300 different pastors' pulpits. And I'm going to tell you, I not at all have any reservations saying I don't. Now, there might be some just as good, but I don't know of a greater man of God, a greater pastor with more compassion and love than Brother Lendell Birdsong. And I sure am thankful to get to be here a couple nights with you all. And I sure hope the Lord blesses us and helps us. Let's be turning to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 1. Amen. And I sure hope the Lord just helps me to tell you a little bit about what the Lord has done for me. Would that be all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm certainly not a great preacher by any means, but I've got a great God that has done some great things. And so though I may not be able to say it the best way, I can tell you about a great God that's done some great things. Amen. Luke chapter number 1. Gabriel was prophesying to Mary about her fixing to have a child which has been conceived by the Holy Ghost. And in verse number 31, Gabriel begins to prophesy, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Could we say it together? And shall call his name
Jesus.
Oh, let's make the devil mad and say it again. And shall call his name
Jesus.
He shall be great,
yes, sir,
and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I thank you and praise you for the Calvary Holiness Camp Meeting, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the anointing and the words, Lord, the compassion, the courage to bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus, have thy way, Lord. Bless this meeting and these people. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. And the church said, well, I am certainly nobody to disagree with Gabriel's wording. Who in the world am I to correct it? An angel. And notice he said he shall be great.
Yeah.
That's future tense.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to get Gabriel's attention and say, understand, before there was a Gabriel,
yeah.
Before there was a Mary,
right.
Before there was a word called great, Jesus was already great. Amen?
Yes.
But we understand that what Gabriel is speaking of is the time that Jesus would take on the robe of flesh and be here upon the earth for some 33 and a half years. And oh, my friend, he was great, as the old black preacher said, when he stepped out on nothing and he said the nothing and created everything. Amen. Oh, he was great as King Nebuchadnezzar had made the decree. Oh, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. And Jesus was found walking in the fire with his people. Come on, where'd he go, mama? He's still in the fire with his people. Amen, glory. Oh, my friend, I'm so glad that Gabriel was right. Whenever he put on that flesh, He was great. Amen. Stopping funeral processions, speaking to young ladies, hollering out to a man that had been in the tomb 4 days. He's still great. Amen. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Jesus is great. Woo! But I've come this morning to tell you, I believe every word the Bible says. Therefore, there's no question about it. I believe he's great. Amen. But if I had not been told about all the great things about him, if I had not been blessed to read so many great things about him, oh, I would know Jesus is great. Jesus is great. July 22nd of 96, pastoring in Southern Illinois at the Jonesboro Pentecostal Church, I was on my way to make a hospital visit for a gentleman that was having surgery whose wife came to the church. And on my way to make the trip to the hospital in my little bitty Suzuki Samurai, another gentleman in a full-size Buick LeSabre, police estimated he was going 75 miles an hour, talking on a cell phone, crossed the yellow line on that two-lane highway, and hit me head-on. It was a very, very tragic accident. And, of course, immediately 911 was called. And as 911 went by our house, Missy said, my wonderful wife said, that as my two little kids always did when the ambulances and fire trucks would go by, they jumped up on the couch, you know, and looked out, you know, to see all the excitement. And whenever the ambulances went by, the Holy Ghost quickened Missy's heart and said, they're going for Doug. Pray. She didn't know of the car accident. She didn't know what was going on. But what she knew was the Holy Ghost had quickened her to pray. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's way too much time spent trying to figure out what the Lord means and what he's talking about and where he's coming from and all of that, instead of just obeying the Spirit. Oh, the Holy Ghost is perfect, and he hadn't never made any mistakes yet. Amen. Oh, when the Lord deals with you to pray, when the Lord deals with you about whatever it is, oh, hearken to the Spirit. Amen. Hearken to the Spirit. I'm so glad that Missy laid down upon the floor right there and began to call out on Jesus. Amen. Well, when the medics got there, Mr. Morgan was the head medic of the county, and he himself and other medics later told me that he climbed up on the wreckage and reached through the broken windshield and tried to relieve pressure from around me, and he desperately looked, as he had been trained to do for many years, for a sign of life. The other medic said that he began to cry, understand that Sister Molly Morgan, his mama, was a 90-something-year-old lady in the church that I pastored. And this was on Monday, and Saturday afternoon, I had preached his younger sister's funeral. So he recognized me and knew who I was. The other said, his eyes filled with tears, as he raised up and officially pronounced me D-O-A, dead on arrival. Oh, my friend. By man's analysis, it's too late. By man's analysis, things have gone too far. Oh, and when Jesus said she is not dead, she only sleepeth, they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Amen? Oh, but I'm so glad that Jesus does not go by man's definitions. I'm so glad Jesus is not limited by man's opinions and man's analysis. Amen. I'm so glad that our Jesus is so much farther and beyond all of that. Amen. Well, on the way to the hospital, they said I made a hiccuping sound, and they all automatically began to work with me. And the reason they took me to the hospital is because Mr. Morgan wrote up my death certificate there in an ambulance while they worked to get my body out of the wreckage. But the county coroner couldn't come to the scene, and they're not allowed to turn you over to an undertaker and so forth until You've been pronounced dead by either the county coroner or a licensed physician. So they took me to the hospital so the doctors could pronounce me dead. Well, when they began to work with me, though, then they said they couldn't find a sign of life. So by state law, they had to cross out the time of death and pronounce me dead again and write a new time of death upon the death certificate. It happened again and again in the ambulance. It happened again and again in the emergency room. Oh, but finally, my friend, Dr. Martin at the Southeast Missouri Hospital, he pronounced me dead and signed my death certificate. The only undertaker, the only funeral home we had in town was notified. The police came to the house to get Missy to tell her she needed to come and identify the body. Oh, but I'm telling you, friend, even if it does go that far, understand that on the way to Lazarus's tomb, they began to say, well, when Jesus said he's only asleep, oh, well, if he's asleep, you know, we remember Jairus' daughter. He does well if he's asleep. Well, that'd be good. Let's go wake him up. And Jesus plainly said, Lazarus is dead. Amen. But hey, if it's not a matter of a different definition, if things really are that bad, it's still not too late for Jesus. Amen. Come on now. Oh, whenever I said, well, you know, man has their own definitions. Jesus' definitions aren't the same. The devil might have jumped on somebody's shoulder and said, yeah, he doesn't know about your disease. He doesn't know about your problem. Oh, I'm telling you, if it is every bit as bad as they say, if it is really been as bad as the analysis of man, that's all right. Jesus is on his way, and it's not too late for Jesus. Amen. Lazarus, come forth! Woo! After Dr. Martin had signed the death certificate, they had covered me up and pushed the gurney over against the wall, and I was left there. He said his doctor of relief finally came in. Oh, and he would, as he told me the story, he would wipe a tear, and then he would snicker and laugh a little bit, and then he'd just say, I'll tell you, I can't believe I'm talking to you about this. And after he signed the death certificate and his doctor of relief came in, he said, I'd been in the emergency room all night. I was so glad to get out of there. He said, I went to pass your body and something said to me, go over there and check one more time on that preacher. He said, I said to myself, Lord, have mercy. I don't have time for this. The boy's dead. I've already signed this death certificate. It's over. Oh, he said, preacher, I can't explain to you what happened, but something pulled me over there. I said, I know what it was, doctor. I know what it was. He said, when I took you by the hand, I felt a mighty strong pulse. I'm preaching to you, Jesus is great. I'm preaching to you, Jesus is great. Hey, the prophecy came true. Jesus is great. Come on now. Oh, Mr. Obama, I've got news for you. He is the Messiah. He is great. Amen. Come on now. Oh, Mr. Romney, I've got news for you. He's not Lucifer's brother. He's not a creation. He is God, and he is great. Amen. And there's still a group of holiness people somewhere down around Broxton that is still believing and declaring Jesus is great. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. Jesus is great. Somebody say it. Jesus is great. Say it loud enough to make the devil mad. Jesus is great. Woo! Hila yoko shonda ko santai. Well, you know, if it had been my choice then, I would have just got up and went to the house when the doctor found I was alive. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's decision, his way. See, he knew that 16 years later, I'd have the opportunity to stand at this camp meeting and you'd be sitting there in that seat. And I'd be able to tell you, oh, that it don't matter what the problem is. Jesus is greater. Come on now. Jesus is greater. Come on. Oh, I'm so glad to tell you that I know that I can't do much of anything but believe with you. But hey, I know the one that he is greater than every disease. He's greater than every analysis. He's greater than every financial problem. He's greater. Jesus is great. I was in different stages of a coma for some 8 months. I was in intensive care for several months. It got to the point that they believed I was beyond the point of life and death. They took my family to a conference room, they said, and explained to them that, to my wife, that my optical nerve that runs from your eyes to the back of your brain that transmits what you're seeing, mine was severed, held on by the thickness of a hair so I could see a little bit of light, but I was blind and would be blind the rest of my life. There's no surgery. There's no rehabilitation for such a injury. They explained that my right side of my brain was severely damaged, and therefore my left side was partially paralyzed, completely useless, much like a severe stroke victim, that I had little to no control of my left side. And oh, they were saying that all we can do is do a lot of rehabilitation, hope that with time he is able to take care of himself to some point. At that time, I could not even sit up on my own. I know you know what I'm talking about when I say I had to be cared for as a baby in every way all the time. Oh, my friend, they explained that my bottom jaw from this joint to this joint all the way around was broken over 100 times. The adjective they used was, it was crushed, amen. And all the doctor said that even if someday that they could rebuild that, the neurologist, Dr. Chung in Missouri, he said, even if someday he can have that jaw rebuilt, his brain is so damaged, he will never have the mentality to speak again in complete sentences. Oh, but I'm at the Broxton camp meeting to tell folks Jesus is great. Jesus is great. Jesus is great. Woo! Cincinnati Eye Institute, where the bird song has done that terrible thing of a head MRI. Oh, I hate those things. And that's where they take pictures of the inside of your brain, understand. And they've got the pictures there, and I've got to see them. I said, I've got to see them. I said, I've got to see them. Of the original head MRI from the time of the accident that shows that optical nerve suffered. And then I've got to see the new MRIs that shows that that optical nerve doesn't look any different, doesn't look like anything ever happened to it. It looks fine. Amen? Cincinnati Eye Institute has sent those MRI pictures to different universities across America to have it studied and tried to understand exactly what in the world happened. Amen. When they asked for my permission to do that, I said, before you do it, can I please have a magic marker and write on the bottom of that MRI, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Woo! Oh, I'm here to declare Jesus is great. Woo! My friend, that's my left hand up in the air that was paralyzed. I'm standing on my left foot. Amen. Come on now. Oh, I'm not only sitting up by myself, but this is my first away from home long trip for quite a few days like this by myself without my wife. And hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thank God. Thank God. Hey, I'm doing all right, folks. Why? Because Doug is not great. Jesus is great. Jesus is great. Woo! Shanda Tolo Yoko Santa. Well, they, the ENT that had my mouth wired shut for quite a few months. I don't know the exact amount of time, but it was wired shut, and the only way that I could take anything in for several months was through some broken teeth and a straw, and I had lost a lot of weight. I was very weak. I was very much just weary with the pain and the weakness and everything. Oh, but could I tell you that whenever Brother Ralph Horton was the one that prayed over me that night, and over my jaw being in such pain, he took that oil and just anointed my jaw. I didn't tell him. The Lord did. I didn't tell him that my jaw was wired shut or anything else. And you couldn't see that with my mouth shut. Oh, but he prayed for me in the name of Jesus. And right then, immediately, every bit of the pain was gone. I mean, every bit of the pain was gone. There was no more pain, but I was still hungry. My mouth was still wired shut. But oh, my friend, could I tell you that on that next day, on the way back home to Illinois, where we were still living in the parsonage of the church, and oh, on our way back, Missy was driving the van. I was sitting there on the passenger side when I felt something in my mouth. And I felt it growing and getting bigger. I sure didn't know what it was, but I'd done what you'd have done. I opened my mouth to see what it was. Woo! My friend, when I did, I spit out a great big blob ball of metal wires that had my mouth wired shut all those months. Hey, my friend, I couldn't see what they were. I was trying to hold up to the windshield and trying to see what in the world had happened. Oh, my goodness. And my wife of great faith, she looked over and said, "Lord, have mercy. That doctor's going to kill you." Oh, but I'm here to tell you, it's all about my Jesus. Jesus is great. Jesus is great. When the doctor done the x-rays to try to see what in the world had happened, and he took my metal wires. Man, I wish I wouldn't have given to him. I wish I had my metal wires, but I don't. But he took my metal wires and he took x-rays to see what in the world had happened. With my mom and my wife sitting there, he said, "In my professional opinion," he said, "let me explain something about medical science to you." He said, "Whenever you have a broken bone, for the rest of your life, it will be shown on an x-ray exactly where that bone was broken." Did you know that? I didn't know that. He said, "And in my professional opinion, someone has given you a brand new jaw, because that jaw that was broken 100 times has never been broken, this jaw. This jaw here is not the same jaw." Hey, my friend, come on now. Woo, glory! When my good holiness mom gets on to me, you know, for every now and then, if you can believe it ever happened, that I'd be a little bit of a smart aleck, I explained to her, "Now, Mom, please understand, you're right, the rest of me is 45 years old, but this here jaw's just in his mid-teens." And you know how they are. Come on here now. Oh, my friend, Jesus is great. Jesus done what nobody else could do for me. Amen. Glory. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm seeing. Oh, I've had the privilege of teaching high school for some 4 years, public school since then. Oh, I'm telling you, I may not be thinking as great as some of you, but I'm thinking all right. Come on now. Hey, I know where I'm at. I know what happened yesterday, and I know what I'm planning on doing tomorrow. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, brother, Jesus is great. Jesus is great. Woo! Well, and let me tell you, church, I hate to use the word "was" because he's the great I am. But way back in the days of creation, brother, Jesus was great, if I could use the word "was." Amen? All through the Bible, Jesus was great, if I could use that word. Amen? Oh, my friend, 16 years ago, oh, when I was covered up and left for dead, Jesus is great. Amen? Woo! And could I tell you, he's still great today. And he's going to be great tomorrow. He's going to be great on and on and on. Pastor Jay Bailey, Silver Springs, New York, called me to tell me that Tyler, a 16-year-old boy there in the church, had inoperable brain tumor, cancerous. He'd been turned over to hospice. And he said that Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is a secular foundation that tries to do good things for folks with incurable diseases, children, and they had told him that he would be having a free trip to Disney World. And he said, I don't want to go to Disney World. He said, I just want to go to church. I just want to go to church. Come on here now. Oh, understand, he was a foster child. He was taken from his mother because she was taking him from truck stop to truck stop, from big truck to big truck. She was a lady of the night, to say it in a rather nice way. Oh, but my friend, he had found the Savior. He had found one that was great enough to change his way of thinking, change his way of living. Amen. And now he's laying on the hospice bed at 17 years old. They've now given him 3 days to live. And there in that mobile home, laying there on that hospital bed, they had brought into the dining room, was having church with him, with just a bunch of the church folk singing and praying and having church, Brother Bridges. Oh, could I tell you about my Jesus? While I was telling him what I'm telling you today, oh, I looked over and I saw his eyes open up. Woo! I saw a smile come to his face. I heard him begin to grunting and saying the name Jesus. Hey, my friend, hospice quit coming and seeing him. The specialist said, there's no sign there's ever been a tumor. My friend, Jesus is great! Woo! Got to be there in Vanceburg, Kentucky with Brother Kirk Cordell when Josh's mom, Josh, 7 years old, she brought him to the front to have him prayed for. I never seen a mama weep over a child being prayed for quite like that. I wasn't praying the prayer of faith. I wasn't doing it the way I was saying all the right things, I know. But the prayer of faith is a lot more than your words, amen. Oh, I'm sure I quoted a scripture. I'm sure I said the right words, Brother Gabbard. But, oh, you're a great man of faith, and I know you know what I'm talking about. Faith is a lot more than just the words you say, amen. My mind was all thinking about, Lord, have mercy. That poor mama, she sure is upset. I've never seen somebody carry on like that to have a child prayed for. Yeah. Brother Cordell leaned over and said, Brother Doug, Josh has been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And tomorrow they'll be taking him back to the specialist to have more testing done to confirm the what they've said and to set it, find out what stage it's in so they can schedule the treatments for this disease. And oh, and now I'm crying like the mama. Lord, have mercy. My son Dakota, he's had a birthday since then, but at that time he was still 7 also. And I began to cry with the mama now, not believing and praying like I should have. I was thinking, Lord, have mercy. How would me and Missy be acting if this was our baby that we had brought, knowing that it has an incurable disease? Oh, my, and I'm crying too. Oh, when the Holy Ghost let me look over and see a couple little boys about the same age. And the Holy Ghost dealt with me, and I went over and I said, boys, would you please come over here and help me pray for Josh? Oh, and they came over. There was 3 more children over here. We had 5 children about that same age in that same category, and they were all 5 crying tears. They were all 5 praying the prayer of faith. They was all 5 believing that Jesus is great. Woo! Brother Young, Jesus is great. Glory! Jesus is great. My friend, 3 days later, I could show you the chair I was sitting in at Brother David Miller's house whenever my cell phone rang, and I answered, and it was Pastor Cordell. He said, Brother Doug, he said that Daddy got so worried and upset that he asked if I'd go with him to the doctor today in order to find out just all about the testing and begin to schedule everything concerning what stage the disease is in. He said, so we went in the doctor's office and said, he looked across his desk and he said, I've got to tell you, I have never examined a healthier 7-year-old boy than Josh is. He said, there's no sign that he has it, no sign that he's ever had it. His cystic fibrosis is nowhere to be found. Hey, my friend, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is great. Jesus is great. Not he was great. Not he will be great. Jesus is great. already been there, and the Miracle Brother Bird song with Brother Howard had already taken place, and Brother Bird's song has helped us with the work over there, and he knows these people. Oh, and the Lord began to deal with me a few years ago that I needed to go over there without anything planned. And you know, that's a very expensive thing to do. And there was just, so I just took off and went. And when I got there, I'd already preached for Brother Welch and so forth. And I felt like going to that island. So when I got there, I didn't call him until I got there. I said, Brother Welch, I don't know what's going on. Maybe the Lord just wants me to be at your church Sunday, but me and Missy have came to Hawaii to obey the Lord. Brother Welch started crying, Brother Birdsong. He started crying hard. He said, I think I know why you're here. I said, what's wrong, Brother Welch? Why are you crying? He said, in the morning, his wife, his name Pu'alani, he said, they'll be amputating Pu'alani's leg. Severe diabetes. They're taking her leg off in the morning. Oh, my friend, I said, let's go to the hospital, Brother Welch. Let's pray for her. We got in that hospital room, and oh, my friend, the Holy Ghost fell. There wasn't no loud singing and shouting, Brother Bridges. It was one of those times where even the nurses, both of them, was crying. Oh, it was one of those times where the Spirit was just so strong and so sweet. Oh, I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord was there. They already had her leg prepped and ready to do surgery, amputation in the morning. Well, in the morning, when they wheeled her into the room to take off the leg, amputate the leg, that surgeon, he said, wait a minute. We got to do some checking with some things. And the more that he checked, and the more that he checked, and the more that he checked, he said, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to amputate this leg. When the specialist and her family doctors came in that afternoon, surprised and not understanding what was going on, and the more checking and the more checking they did, they said, you're sure doing better, and they sent her home that evening. Oh, the day she was supposed to have that leg amputated, she got sent home. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is great. Woo! And I know that I don't know all the things planned for the service, who all will have the privilege of preaching his glorious gospel, but I guarantee you that Pastor Gabbard's been praying and already got the mind of God which way to go. But I would love to tell you that after today, after we hear the gospel preached as it should be, that I would love to have the opportunity, if you ever feel the calling of the Lord, to anoint you with oil and pray over you, because I ain't got nothing, but I believe in him that does. I am a believer, amen. I said, Jesus is great. Could we all say it together before I sit down? Could you please holler out with all of your might,